Hi everyone. Today we're going to be reading the East Boston Times Free Press. This edition is from August 19th, 2026. Suffolk County DA Hayden is proud of his many accomplishments. When Suffolk County District Attorney Kevin Hayden was introduced at a recent political event in Revere, the applause was substantial. Mayor Patrick Keefe praised Hayden in his remarks, stating, "We're here to celebrate our public safety. We have the most sworn officers, police, and fire that we've had in over 2 decades. We haven't had a homicide in the city of Revere in over 4 years. A week later, at an event in Chelsea, residents gave Hayden an equally enthusiastic and respectful welcome as City Councilors Leo Robinson and Calvin T. Brown hailed the district attorney's many accomplishments during his 4+ years in office. Kevin Hayden has done a tremendous job working with our law enforcement officials in protecting our residents and engaging with our community," said Robinson. "He has been highly visible at events, promoting public safety, and his office has always been accessible and professional in its immediate response to correspondences and phone calls from our residents. He always has a team present at such events as National Night Out and public meetings." Hayden, who is seeking a second term as district attorney for Suffolk County that encompasses Boston, Revere, Winthrop, and Chelsea, said, "We have accomplished a lot of things in the short time that I've been in office, and we need to make sure that good work continues." Statistics indicate that there have been a significant decline in incidents of crime across the country that has 800,000 residents. Historically low crime rates don't happen by accident, and a lot of what we've done over the course of the first term has helped achieve that, said Hayden, a graduate of Dartmouth College and Boston University Law School, whether that's dealing with our Juvenile Alternative Resolution, JAR, program, helping our young people and keeping them away from our criminal legal system, a program which has expanded to emerging adults. It has been extraordinarily successful so far. Services Over Sentences, SOS, an alternative to prosecution program launched in 2022 by Hayden, has been a focus of the DA's office in addressing the opioid crisis. "The opioid epidemic continues to be a problem for us, particularly in our South End neighborhood right now, and our focus is on recovery, on getting people we call high risk, high need into the treatment that they need, the housing access that they need, and to give them the opportunity to build a life that they need, and hopefully, first and foremost, to get clean and sober. That's how we address that problem. That way we can prosecute people less and it saves lives, and we have real proof of having saved lives through our Services Over Sentences program." Speaking about the intervention and prevention aspects of his office, Hayden, who oversees approximately 165 attorneys and 310 staff members overall, noted, "We have our fraud fighters piece, which is primarily geared towards our elder community, but as time goes on, we're finding that our younger folks are very interested in it as well. When you talk about online fraud, phone scams, and the things that are happening now, particularly in this new age of AI, it is a rampant problem. It's one that's hard to prosecute, so we know and we've learned that intervention and prevention are our most useful way of combating that problem, telling people exactly what scammers are doing and staying up to date and one step ahead of them, and letting our communities know how they can prevent themselves from being defrauded." Hayden said that the retail theft continues to be a real issue. "The reality is there is no one-size-fits-all solution in how you tackle that problem," said Hayden. "Someone who's homeless and down and out and starving for food who is stealing is a lot different than someone who's running out of a store with thousands of dollars of merchandise at a time and doing that for a profit. So we have partnered with our retailers and with law enforcement to make sure we are dealing with shoplifting and retail theft in comprehensive and effective ways." Hayden emphasized that his office will always focus on the most serious and most violent crimes first and foremost. "That's what keeps people up at night, and that's what people are concerned about. Everyone wants and deserves to be safe," said Hayden. "And we continue to focus on violent crime and how to drive it down and how to be better. But we're doing very well in that area. We are seeing historically low crime rates across the board." Hayden smiled when he was asked about the rousing receptions he has garnered at local events. He knows that there's work still to be done. "I'm just extraordinarily humbled by the response I've received in our communities. It's humbling to know that people have the confidence in my staff and me and in the work we're doing," said Hayden. "I'm proud of the work we've done during my term. Rome didn't get built in a day. It takes time to establish things that we've established, the extraordinary successes across every major area. We've also improved the office internally as well, with a professional development standpoint, from raising the salary of our assistant district attorneys and all our staff. We've been able to work very closely with our legislature to get salaries increased for our staff. That's very important when it comes to retention and being able to keep people around. And we've also increased the number of staff. We have 40 more people working in the office than we had before, and we continue to work on adding some more, because if you don't have the people to do the work, then it's harder to get it done. I'm so proud of the work we've done. We have some of the best public servants in the entire state doing this work. We're proud of what we've done. We're proud of what we're doing in Suffolk County, keeping our community safe while also continuing to advance important ideas around criminal and legal reform. But we're not resting on our laurels. Under editorials, Justice Beyond the Headlines, Why I'm Voting for Kevin Hayden by Senator Lydia Edwards. September 1st, 2026 is primary election day. With only Democrats running for Suffolk County District Attorney, the race will be over in September rather than in November. We have a choice to make this year, and unlike most seats that are up for re-election, District Attorney Kevin Hayden is being challenged seemingly from his left, Rachel Rollins, and his right, Linda Champion. I have been an attorney in Massachusetts for 20 years this November. Today, I serve as a state senator for Boston, Revere, and Winthrop, three of the four towns in Suffolk County. I am also Senate Chair of the Judiciary Committee, and now, as the legislative session has come to an end, I am serving as a bar advocate, criminal defense attorney for people that cannot afford private attorneys. Finally, I am an adjunct law professor at Suffolk Law School, and in my spare time, I am a judge advocate general, a military attorney in the Massachusetts Army National Guard. I want to first acknowledge that I have endorsed both Rollins in 2018 and Hayden in 2022 for District Attorney of Suffolk County. I have written op-eds about both acknowledging their work and dedication to the people of Suffolk County. I have excitedly defended them both and enjoyed their endorsements and support. I even wrote a letter of support for Rollins' appointment to be U.S. Attorney. I know them both personally and professionally. I have spoken to Ms. Champion less so, but did meet with her while she was running for District Attorney in 2018. I lead with all the above background experience and political decisions to state unequivocally that District Attorney Kevin Hayden should be resoundingly reelected. It is not just politics for me, it is my profession and it is personal. Let's talk about his qualifications. Kevin has dedicated decades of his life to community representation. He worked his way up from a young assistant district attorney to his appointment as district attorney. It's true he didn't run initially for this office. Governor Baker had to find a qualified public servant to replace then District Attorney Rollins when Rollins left to become the U.S. attorney. Since starting his position as DA, Kevin has proven publicly what so many people know of him personally. He just wants to do the work. He's not flashy, you won't find him tweeting tirades, he doesn't come with the quick comebacks, and he doesn't play politics. That is why we need him. If there's anything we are growing tired of, it's prosecution and advocacy by clicks and social media. The real work doesn't happen on screen most of the time. It is in the moments of crisis, it's holding the surviving loved ones, it's praying for the safe return of people who are missing, it's house calls. Kevin does all that, Kevin genuinely leads with his heart, and most of that work is unseen. It's easy to judge a district attorney or abandon one when you don't like the decisions they make. To bring charges against a police officer who is innocent until proven guilty was a difficult decision that only a district attorney can make with discernment. While some may like or not like the decision, I don't think there is one person that can say Kevin did it due to politics or to curry favor with the police. I would argue the same when it comes to his choice to prosecute crimes that Rollins chose to ignore. He isn't making political decisions, he is making prosecutorial ones based on what is best for public trust and public safety. That is what I want in my district attorney, to just do the job, and we are getting more than that with Kevin. He has creatively approached public safety and continued programs that worked to keep people out of jail and communities safe. Fundamentally, Kevin is a man of deep faith and believes that people deserve a second chance. He supported eviction records healing, knowing that housing stability was fundamental to recovery and recovery was fundamental to staying out of jail. Kevin expanded the services over sentencing program with $400,000 of seized drug money because traditional court involvement is not the answer for many of the vulnerable individuals in the center or fringes of Mass and Cass. We need to present alternative solutions that identify and address the issues that brought them here in the first place. And money seized from drug-related convictions is a fitting method to fund it. Another example is Hayden's new initiative for young adults. While Beacon Hill is deciding whether to raise the age for court-involved youth to 18 for juvenile court, Hayden already piloted a program. Hayden's Emerging Adult Program follows science and creates Diversionary Pathways to Prosecution for Emerging Adults Ages 18 to 25 Years Old, connecting with them with established nonprofit organizations like ROCA to create individualized service plans in conjunction with an ongoing criminal case. The program is in four phases and can last 6 to 18 months, during which participants meet with wraparound services, are held accountable for their mistakes, and hopefully graduate with a clean record. That is justice-centered prosecution. It is also community-focused accountability that allows the young person to earn a new beginning and the community to heal. My final example, though there are many more, of Hayden's justice-centered prosecution is his recent support and contributions to the PROTECT Act. This new law protects courthouses, schools, and hospitals from ICE immigration enforcement. For District Attorney Hayden, that means prosecutions of defendants won't be interrupted by federal agents. It means victims and witnesses will come to court and testify without fear of being detained. It means people will report crimes to the police, keeping us all safer. Hayden was also a leader in ensuring UNT visa, special visas for human trafficking and domestic violence survivors, certification reforms were practical and included in the PROTECT Act. The process will be faster, more consistent, and the reforms have been lauded by nonprofits dedicated to ending sexual exploitation and abuse. Finally, I want to say Kevin, unlike his predecessor, has the immense respect of his fellow district attorneys. Kevin was elected by his peers to lead the Massachusetts Association of District Attorneys. In that role, Kevin leads monthly meetings about criminal justice reform policies and trends. He is a statewide leader and voice for all justice-minded prosecutors. There is a long list of why Kevin's opponents are not the kind district attorneys we need. Both have continued distracting controversies. Rollins displays hers on a daily basis on social media. Champion, in a demonstration of thin-skinned vindictiveness, recently filed a lawsuit against the Globe for $50,000 because she was defamed by a Globe story discussing where she lived. And yes, Hayden was fined for campaign missteps while running for district attorney. But the difference between Hayden and his opponents is that he paid the fine and is no longer serves as a distraction. He also has not made the mistake again. Essentially, the buck and the controversy stopped with him. In conclusion, I am asking you, the voters of Suffolk County, to vote for Kevin Hayden on September 1st. If what I described above is new to you, it is because Kevin was focused on the work and not on politics or marketing. Kevin is a public servant that has earned your trust and vote. Signed, Lydia Edwards, the state senator to the 3rd Suffolk District of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Under editorials, Governor Healey does the right thing to ban kratom. The decision last week by Governor Moore Healey and the Mass Department of Public Health to issue an order classifying kratom as a Schedule 1 drug, thereby effectively banning the sale of kratom products, removes a dangerous and highly addictive substance from store shelves in our state. Kratom is derived from the leaves of a tree in Southeast Asia, where it has been used medicinally in its natural form for hundreds of years with a low degree of dependency when used in moderation. However, in this country, kratom products flooding convenience and other stores bear little resemblance to that traditional herb. Instead, manufacturers are distributing highly potent extract powders, tablets, and gummies that isolate and concentrate kratom's active alkaloid. Because these commercial products have been completely unregulated, consumers have no way of knowing the dosage or chemical purity of what they are ingesting. It is these hyper-concentrated products that lead rapidly to dependency, severe withdrawal, and an elevated risk of overdose, especially among curious children and teenagers. A number of cities and towns across the state, most recently Revere, already have taken matters into their own hands by banning the sale of kratom products in their communities. However, local ordinances create a patchwork defense that allows buyers to simply drive to the next town over. Governor Healey's sweeping statewide ban establishes a uniform line of defense, ensuring that these unpredictable and hazardous products can no longer target the health and safety of our youth anywhere in the Commonwealth. News briefs. The Greenway to host East Boston Sports Day. The Friends of the Mary Ellen Welch Greenway will host East Boston Sports Day on Saturday, August 22nd from 1 to 4 p.m. at Bremen Street Park. This free community event will feature activities from New England sports organizations, including the Boston Red Sox, Boston Celtics Junior League, Boston Bruins, New England Revolution, and more. Meet team mascots, enjoy activities, collect giveaways, and learn about local East Boston youth sports programs. We are excited to bring a sports event to the Greenway that encourages youth to stay active, join local teams, and engage with the community. East Boston has so many incredible sports leagues and programs year-round. It's my goal to promote all that we have to offer for our youth, said event coordinator Lisa Capogreco. Having major league teams participate is a wonderful bonus for kids and families. Special guest Todd Angeli, the Boston Bruins national anthem singer, will perform the national anthem to kick off the event. The Friends of the Mary Ellen Welch Greenway thank the East Boston YMCA for its partnership and East Boston Foundation, Blue Bikes, and Cappuccio Construction for their sponsorship support. Sponsorship opportunities are available. To learn more, contact Lisa at maryellenwelchgreenway.org. Annual Purple Bow Campaign for Overdose Awareness kicks off August 20th. The fifth annual Adopt a Pole for Overdose Awareness campaign will officially kick off on Thursday, August 20th at 12 p.m. at Recovery on the Harbor, located at 979 Bennington Street in East Boston. The event features a speaking program followed by bow distribution and placing bows along Bennington Street in East Boston and Broadway in Chelsea. Between August 20th and August 31st, which marks International Overdose Awareness Day, volunteers and recovery groups will tie 1,200 purple bows to poles and lampposts across East Boston and surrounding communities. Each Boston bears a name tag honoring a loved one lost to overdose. The bows will remain displayed through September in observance of Recovery Month. Organized by North Suffolk Community Services alongside local partners, the initiative aims to raise awareness, end overdose, reduce stigma, and acknowledge the grief of families and friends left behind. Attending events with dogs. Outdoor events can be fun to share with your pup as long as you ensure the event is safe and comfortable for your dog, and he will be a great ambassador for canines while in attendance. Some seasonal outdoor events, like concerts and fireworks, prohibit dogs, but many of the spaces where such events are held are otherwise dog-friendly. We would never advise taking dogs to fireworks shows. The noise from the explosives and the presence of people looking up rather than paying attention to a dog in the area could spell trouble for even the calmest of canines. However, in these same spots, you may have opportunities to gather friends, a blanket, a picnic, and your dog for a relaxed evening outside. Concerts and movie nights. Websites like bostoncentral.com provide updated details on events throughout the greater Boston area. These include free Friday flicks at the Hatch Shell on the Charles River Esplanade, Wednesday night movies at Castle Island, and Monday nights at Time Out Market. They also list concert series and will update these listings when the fall schedules are announced. Markets and festivals. Dogs on leashes are welcome at many farmers markets and local festivals. Always check the rules before you arrive. There is a perception that farmers markets close down when school begins, but many operate into October and some until Thanksgiving week. For example, the Boston Seaport Summer Market runs through October 10th. Boston artists and craftspeople will display their work during the Boston Arts Festival at the Christopher Columbus Waterfront Park in mid-September. In addition, October will bring the spirit of Oktoberfest to beer gardens and other sites in the area. Halloween displays and costume parties will follow. You will also find event listings on the websites of specific hosting locations. Check out the Rowan Kennedy Greenway events and activities that continue through early fall. Is this right for your dog? Here are a few tips to make these outings more enjoyable for you, your pup, and the people around you. Obviously, if your dog is not well-mannered or not comfortable around either people or dogs, this is not the right activity for you. If you have a high-energy dog, make sure she's tired before the event. At a concert, find a spot away from speakers and watch your pup's expression to see if the amplified sound is causing any discomfort. Bring water for your dog and stash a few treats in your pocket to reward good behavior. Make sure your pup has plenty of opportunities to relieve himself away from the crowd to avoid an embarrassing leg lift on a neighbor's chair. Don't let your canine companion give all dogs a bad name by begging for or stealing your neighbor's lunch. Tick reports are plentiful this year. Be sure to check yourself and your dog for ticks during and after the event. Catch up with friends and neighbors. You don't need an event planned by an organization to spend an afternoon or evening in the great outdoors. Send out a message and have a group of dog buddies gather around a bench with a few extra blankets spread on the grass. East Boston Branch Library News. Library Happenings, All Ages Storytime, Wednesdays at 10:30 a.m. This week's storytime features books, songs, movement, and a craft. Groups, please call ahead, for ages 2 to 5. Animal Rescue League, Thursday, August 20th at 4 p.m. Q&A with ARL of Boston. Come learn about working in an animal shelter. You might just meet a furry new friend. Dino Man, Tuesday, August 25th at 2 p.m. Dino Man will talk about the age of the Earth, how it is divided into eras, how fossils are formed, dinosaur behavior, and the newest finds. Children will follow Dino Man to find several life-size dinosaurs for ages 5 to 10, 11 years old. T-Rex Party, Friday, August 28th at 11 a.m. It's a dinosaur-themed tea party. Wear your fancy clothes or dress up like a dinosaur or a fancy dinosaur. Come enjoy some refreshments, crafts, and activities. Career Counseling Drop-In Hours, Thursdays 12 to 2:30 p.m. During drop-in hours, the BPL career counselor can answer job questions, connect you to services, and make a follow-up plan. ESOL Conversation Group, Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m. Practice speaking English with other adult learners in an informal and friendly group setting. The group is led every Thursday by a volunteer teacher and will take place in person. This is a drop-in program. No registration is required. 6 doctor-approved back-to-school tips for a healthy school year. A healthy school year starts before the first day of class. The American Medical Association, AMA, is sharing 6 tips to help families prepare children for a healthy return to the classroom. 1. Pack nutritious food. When packing your child's lunch and snacks, include a variety of health foods such as fruits, vegetables, lean or plant-based proteins, and whole grains. As much as possible, try to avoid highly processed food products such as processed meats and sugar-sweetened drinks such as soda and juice. To help you make the healthiest choice for your growing child, read nutrition labels carefully and choose foods that are lower in sodium, saturated fat, and added sugars. 2. Make sleep a priority. A good night's sleep is essential to overall health, especially as children develop. School stress, illnesses, and other factors can keep kids from getting enough sleep. Set a consistent sleep routine and bedtime to keep the whole family on track. Teens should aim for 8 to 10 hours of sleep per night, and children between 6 and 12 should get 9 to 12 hours. Keep cell phones out of the bedroom to improve sleep time and quality. If your child experiences persistent sleep issues, talk with their doctor to find out if it's caused by a sleep disorder and whether treatment is needed. 3. Get up to date on MMR vaccination. Be aware that the United States is seeing the highest number of measles cases in more than 30 years, and measles spreads very easily, often before you realize that you or the people around you are sick. Measles is more than a rash. It is an extremely contagious airborne virus that can cause severe health complications, including pneumonia, brain swelling, blindness, and even death, especially in babies and young children. An MMR vaccine is the best way to avoid spreading measles, mumps, and rubella, and prevent children from getting sick. There is no treatment for these infections, so vaccination is the best defense. Nearly everyone who doesn't get an MMR vaccine will get sick if exposed to measles, mumps, or rubella. Be sure your child is up to date on MMR vaccination to protect them against severe complications. Doing so will help keep them from missing out on school and help you from missing work to care for a sick child. Number 4. Limit screen time. People are on their devices more than ever before. Too much screen time can have negative mental and physical health effects and increase feelings of loneliness. The start of a new school year is a good time to replace screen time with other activities such as after-school clubs, sports, playdates, reading, quality family time, and sleep. Screen-free meals and keeping devices out of bedrooms can also help children build healthier habits. Number 5. Protect their smile. Establishing good dental routines, including brushing, flossing, and regular dental visits, will help make these habits stick and keep kids smiling. Poor dental hygiene is associated with health complications later in life, making it especially important to establish good dental habits early. Number 6. Prevent spread of norovirus. Norovirus is a very contagious virus that causes vomiting, diarrhea, or both, and can spread quickly in schools. It is the leading cause of foodborne illness, but it is preventable. When buying school supplies, stock up on cleaning supplies as well. Cleaning frequently touched surfaces and modeling good hand washing habits for your children can help prevent the spread of norovirus and other gastrointestinal germs. If your child develops GI symptoms, keep them home from school for at least 48 hours after symptoms stop to prevent spreading the virus to others. For more back-to-school health information, visit the AAMA website at www.ama-assn.org. Tips to ace math class this school year. Math is often the most challenging class in a student's course load, but it doesn't have to be. Follow these tips to prevent feeling frazzled and overwhelmed this school year. Find study buddies. Staying on top of your A game can be as simple as making some friends in your class. Find some study buddies to remain accountable and work through difficult problems together. Check in with your teacher. If you are having trouble with any particular concept, don't be afraid to reach out to your teacher. Ask questions during class or request to see them before or after class for a little extra support. Equip yourself to succeed. A well-designed scientific calculator can simplify learning and can make test days less stressful. Don't save math homework for last. If math is not your favorite subject, it can be tempting to put this homework off for last. Don't. To avoid burnout, consider approaching the subjects that are most difficult for you when you're still fresh. Get help online. Free online resources can help you gain more practice and improve your math skills. For example, Casio's ClassPad.net offers a clean, versatile workspace for performing essential primary computational and trigonometric functions, visualizing expressions, and analyzing functions. There are also many YouTube and TikTok content creators offering math tutorials and advice along with demonstrations on how to make the most of specific calculators. With new study habits and the right tools, you can ensure math class is fun, engaging, and never a source of stress.